We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Of course, that was the late, great Burt Reynolds, who passed away today at the age of 82. And, of course, that was Boogie Nights, Oscar nomination. The one and only Burt Reynolds has left us. So rest in peace, Bert. He had an amazing career, and going to miss him. Anyway, hey, thank you for joining us today. Frank is under the weather today, so there is no news on Channel 4, right? News has been canceled. They're running cartoons. No?
Oh, I wish.
Old 60-minute reruns? No, there will be news. Frank won't be delivering the news, but anyway, couple of things that we are keeping an eye on. Of course, still a lot of pushback, a lot of controversy about this anonymous op-ed in the New York Times talking about dissent, confusion within the Oval Office. We still don't know who it is. A lot of speculation, a lot of people saying maybe this person should have resigned and then come forward. Interesting news today about libel laws. President Trump is asking for changes in libel laws in anticipation of Bob Woodward's upcoming book, Fear, which reveals a, quote, nervous breakdown of the presidency. The president said, isn't it a shame that somebody can write an article or book, totally make up stories and form a picture of a person that is literally the exact opposite of the fact, and get away with it without retribution or cost, the president tweeted. He said, I don't know why Washington politicians don't change libel laws. Interesting. The other thing in relation to this, the president said, quote, I think it's embarrassing for the country to allow protesters. Those were the words of President Trump to the Daily Caller. They came hours after the president's nominee for the Supreme Court was greeted by protesters at his confirmation hearing. And the comments also came the same day Nike announced that Colin Kaepernick, who in 2016 decided not to stand for the national anthem to protest racial injustice, was the new face of their Just Do It campaign. By the way, that new Nike ad will allegedly run during this evening's kickoff to the NFL as the Eagles take on the Falcons, if you have any interest in that. The other thing that caught my eye, made me do a double take, and there are a lot of things out there that make a lot of us do double takes these days. North Korea wants to denuclearize the Korean Peninsula before President Trump leaves office. The reported comments mark the first time the Hermit Kingdom has offered a timeline, and they could help to restart talks between the U.S. and North Korea after the president canceled a visit to Pyongyang by his Secretary of State, Mike Pompeo, last month, citing a lack of progress at that time. This timeline is what South Korean officials say North Korean leader Kim Jong-un is pushing for. They just returned from meetings in the North, finalizing plans for another summit later this month between Kim and South Korean President Moon Jae-in. Kim has, quote, unwavering trust in President Trump, the South Koreans report, and he's willing to take more steps toward denuclearization if they're met with matching steps from the U.S. Talks between the North and the U.S. again stalled in recent weeks, both sides calling for the other to make further concessions before moving forward. So that's interesting. Maybe this on-again, off-again thing is back on again. Wouldn't it be nice to have some semblance of true peace on the Korean Peninsula for the first time since, what, the early 50s? And today, Britain, the UK, says that Putin is responsible for that nerve agent attack. Do you remember that? Great Britain has said that Russian President Vladimir Putin has the ultimate responsibility for a nerve agent attack in the British town of Salisbury that targeted a former Russian double agent and led to the inadvertent poisoning death of another woman. Asked if Putin had ultimate responsibility, British Security Minister Ben Wallace told the BBC, quote, ultimately he does. I don't think anybody can ever say that Mr. Putin isn't in control of his state, and the GRU is without doubt not rogue. It is led and linked to both the senior members of the Russian general staff and the defense minister. Are those search results on Google rigged to favor liberal voices, more liberal sources? There are a lot of people who believe that. Google, it turns out, was the big loser in yesterday's hearing on the tech company's role in the last election. Turns out that Twitter CEO Jack Dorsey and Facebook COO Sheryl Sandberg, they both showed up to face the unpleasant congressional music, but Google CEO, he declined and earned a bipartisan rebuke as a result. Senators, in fact, set up an empty seat with a Google nameplate to highlight his absence. So that'll be interesting. And next week, I'm going to be bringing in one of the tech experts, Tom Kiefer at Vertiva, who I respect, knows a lot about tech. And I just have the dumb question, could you really rig Google or any one of these social media platforms to deliver specific results? Could there be any truth to this? There's a lot of smoke, but is there fire? Is there evidence that somebody is actually doing this? So, a couple of the stories that we're keeping an eye on, and thank you for tuning in. We certainly do appreciate that. Good to have the NFL back on. Or what do you think about that? Are you going to be watching the NFL? Have you lost interest in the NFL? In recent years, the ratings have gone down. Just curious if you are as engaged with the NFL as you were previously. A lot of people have lost interest. So, as always, you can weigh in. We want to hear from you. Text us 81807. Are you going to be watching the Eagles-Falcons game this evening? Or you can even call us, 651-989-9226. Coming up in weather therapy, crazy flooding. We had it bad in Minnesota. Wisconsin has had it much worse. And Florence may be paying the East Coast a visit next week. That's next on Weather Therapy on CCO. Is there an APB out on me if you see this guy? So, are you going to be watching the NFL this evening? Couple of people weighing in on the text line. I was born in 1969, so I was tiny during the reign of the Purple People Eaters, one listener says, but I've been a Vikings fan since then, and I will always be. I support players' right to protest. Another listener has a diametrically opposed opinion. I have no desire to watch the NFL, Paul. The total disrespect for the flag, which our vets fought and died for, angers me. All right. Well, I'm happy to report the weather will not anger you, at least looking out the next week. September, the way it was meant to be. Chilly start this morning up north. Little town of Robinson, 25 degrees. Big Fork, 30. A lot of frost up north. But do not be misled. I still think we're going to have a super-sized summer. All the long-range guidance is hinting at temperatures above average through at least the third week of September. A lot more 80s to come. I would not be shocked, I never am, to see another 90 before the flakes start to fly sometime in late October. I think we're still a good month and a half away from the first flurries, maybe longer. El Nino still brewing in the Pacific. Pretty good correlation between these warm phases of the water in the Pacific and milder winters. We're still going to get snow. We're still going to get cold. No question about that. But I would bet a stale state fair corn dog that the upcoming winter will not be as tough as this past winter. We'll see. President Trump declared a major disaster in 27 counties, not for the recent flooding in southeastern Minnesota, but for previous floods and storms between June 15th and July 11th. Again, this is a major disaster declaration. 27 counties and three tribal lands eligible now for federal disaster assistance. The feds will reimburse the state for 75% of the costs of repairing public infrastructure, including roads damaged by the storms. Governor Dayton has said the state will pay the remaining 25% from its emergency contingency fund. By the way, those counties that are eligible for funding: Aiken, Beltrami, Blue Earth, Brown, Carlton, Cass, Clearwater, Cottonwood, Faribault, Itasca, Jackson, Kuching, Lake Lyon, Martin, Murray, Nicollet, Nobles, Pine, Pipestone, Polk, Redwood, Renville, Rock, St. Louis, Sibley, and Wattawan counties, and also the Leech Lake Band of Ojibwe, Red Lake Nation, and White Earth Nation under this presidential disaster declaration due to flooding, severe winds, and hail earlier this year. And as bad as it's been across Minnesota, we haven't seen nearly as many tornadoes. I think we're up to like 16 or 17, most of them fairly small. Normally we get 30, 35 in Minnesota. So it's been a fairly quiet summer for twisters. But the flooding in Wisconsin, even an order of magnitude worse than the flooding in Minnesota. Governor Scott Walker tweeted earlier today that flooding and storms that began on August 17th have cost $208 million in damage. Dane County, that's where Madison is, has seen about $155 million of that damage. The other thing that caught my eye, according to NOAA, the National Weather Service folks, U.S. summertime nighttime lows were the warmest on record. Here in Minnesota, we've had the second warmest growing season on record, and those records go back to the late 1800s, second only to 1988. And Florence, now a Category 3 hurricane, the latest computer models, GFS, which is one of NOAA's models, and the ECMWF, the European model, both bring this storm into the Carolinas, possibly the mid-Atlantic coast, even Long Island, roughly 1 week from now, next Thursday. It's still way out there. So a lot of hand-waving, a lot of speculation. The confidence levels are low. But there's a giant ridge of high pressure which may nudge this thing. Instead of sailing out to sea like most of them do, this one could make a beeline towards the coast in roughly 1 week. Something meteorologists are keeping an eye on. If you have friends, family on the East Coast, you might, you know, you don't want to panic them needlessly, but you might want to just ask them to pay attention, especially if their plans take them to the shore roughly 7-8 days from now. We'll keep
Paul,
you posted on that.
Can I ask you a quick
question? Yeah, absolutely, Susie.
So, you know, my mom and my sisters and I are going to New Orleans in October. And we all know that October can be a tricky month for hurricanes.
It's past peak. Peak is September 11th. That is the date that hurricanes are most likely to hit the U.S.
Okay.
So, yeah, you can get them in October. They're a little more rare.
Is it hit or miss? I mean, we're going mid-October, so could one whip up by then?
It could.
Yeah. I hope not. I mean, of course, Katrina, but that was, I don't know, you know, that hit, that devastated New Orleans.
Absolutely, yeah.
Anyway, I hope not.
Susie?
Yes?
Put $20 in an envelope and just pass it over my way. I'll see what I can do.
Okay, great. I got that on paper. Thanks, Paul.
If only we had that ability. Actually, I'm glad we don't have that ability. We get so much grief just trying to predict the weather. Can you imagine if we could actually make the weather to order? Oh, what a mess that would be. It would keep the attorneys busy because you'd be getting sued every other day because it's hard pleasing all the people all the time. Everybody wants something a little bit different. But I think we can all agree the next week in Minnesota, postcard perfect, as good as it gets. We'll be back with more, including the very latest news headlines from Susie Jones next on CCO. Okay, Paul here. Jor has the day off. Maddox, her son, is... Can you turn that down? Thank you. Maddox is having his bar mitzvah on Saturday, so Jor and Mark, her husband, are gearing up for that, and glad the weather is cooperating. She vowed to kick me in the Doppler if anything bad happened. So I'm just happy that sometimes the weather works out. More comments on my question. Do you care about the NFL? Are you losing interest? Just curious, because I hear the gamut. One of our listeners says, I have no desire to watch the NFL. Most of us have no idea who any of these football players are, so their actions and comments are of no importance. Another person says, players can do what they want at their own risk, I guess, but like it or not, they're offending many fans that will never be back. Used to love pro sports and then realized I have better things to do with my time and money. Another person, that I thought that was a thoughtful comment. Paul, I think in general, there's less interest in all sports now for a variety of reasons. Maybe there are just too many entertainment options out there. Thank you, Brian. Yeah, it's, boy, competition is good, but yeah, we're sort of drowning in options, right? How to spend our time, how to spend our dollars. Maybe that's why we're all neurotic, too many choices. I think it was easier in the Soviet Union when you would go into a store and there were two choices, right? The soup with the blue label or the soup with a red label. Now, I'm not advocating for communism or even socialism, but sometimes I suspect that all these choices were sort of paralyzed, right? Oi, do we have our guest? Hi, Bush. Okay, great. Listen, we're going to have a lot of voices on the air. We want to hear your voice. And from time to time, we're going to have different voices on just to shake things up. Nobody is proposing to tell you what to believe, what to think, but I find that sometimes hearing something that is maybe out of my bubble, out of my comfort zone, forces me to think about things in a different light. And I came across something that I thought was interesting. You may think differently, and you have the freedom to think different. But John Hybush is an expert on Ronald Reagan. A president that I certainly adored. Many don't share that feeling about Ronald Reagan, the Gipper, but I thought he was a good president. I thought he instilled hope and optimism and painted a picture for where we could go as a nation. John, thank you for joining us today.
Great to be with you, Paul. Happy to do it.
Thank you, sir. So tell me what got you going examining President Reagan's life and specifically his presidency, and what similarities, if any, do you see with the current administration? Just curious about that.
Well, you know, I run the Reagan Foundation and Library out here in Los Angeles, and so most of my life has taken up, I literally sit atop the tens of millions of documents and artifacts that surround the Reagan presidency. So every day I, you know, find or discover something new. And I, first job out of college, was working on Capitol Hill during the Reagan administration for Ronald Reagan's first day in office. So I spent a lot of time thinking, and you know, about this whole subject. And of course, with President Trump today and so much media interest in him and his presidency, how he thinks, what he does, there's always lots of comparisons to President Trump and President Reagan.
President Trump is unorthodox, and that's why I think a lot of people voted for him. They wanted something different. They didn't want career politicians. They wanted a breath of fresh air. Whether it turns out, you know, to actually move the needle in the long term, we'll see. But you see some comparisons with President Reagan?
Yeah, you know, there's, no doubt, Ronald Reagan was considered unorthodox as well when he first came on the scene. He was an outsider even with his own party. Most people didn't give him a chance of winning. He was a surprise victor over Jimmy Carter, interestingly enough. A week before the election, he was 10 points down nationally. So he came on the stage as an unexpected victor, Now, what I'd say is, as individuals, their personalities, their style, their characteristics as two different, they're two different men, remarkably so. Mm-hmm. You won't find two different styles and personalities. However, from a policy perspective, in terms of what Trump is actually getting done, what he's executing, you know, every day he takes one page after another from the Reagan playbook. So what we see unfolding in the years 2016 and beyond is quite similar to what we saw unfold from a policy perspective in the 1980s. There's huge parallels between what the two have gotten done.
Deregulation, smaller government, the markets can usually do things better, faster, cheaper than government. So I see the similarities there. Has President Trump expressed any public affinity or admiration for President Reagan?
You know, interestingly, very little. I just say that. I've written articles about this. I think that this is because President Trump, you know, as Thoreau said, he's the ultimate egoist. He compares himself to no one, you know, including Ronald Reagan. And I think President Trump, you know, will refer to President Reagan on a rare occasion when he wants to get something done. Maybe it's in the way of tax cuts, or he wants to point out that, you know, Paul Manafort worked for Ronald Reagan just like he worked for Donald Trump. So I think he, you know, calls on his name when it's useful to the Trump presidency, and I don't begrudge him that. I think it's fine to do that. But I just think that, you know, President Trump's impressed with himself and believes in many respects that he's accomplished more than Ronald Reagan. I just think that's a fact that he believes that. So that's when I hear him invoke Ronald Reagan's name.
Well, President Reagan was sort of the classic, what's the right word? I mean, he was presidential. He was a statesman. He was an orator. He could give an amazing speech and make many of us believe, rightly or wrongly. I mean, he painted a picture, and I think to a large extent tried to be a uniter. I'm just curious, if you could give the current occupant of the Oval Office sage advice, obviously he can't, President Trump can't be like anybody else. He has to be his own man. He has to do it his way. I get that. But would you have any sage advice for the president?
Yeah, you know, I think your analysis of Reagan is very correct. I think he was those things. He was an incredibly great communicator. He was a uniter. He especially well was able to paint a vision of America that got people behind him.
That was a city on a hill, right?
Absolutely, yeah. So you put your finger on what I think were some of his greatest strengths. I believe that if Donald Trump acted more like Ronald Reagan, if he tried to adopt the way he spoke and had a strategy and a communications plan that, you know, followed right behind his messages and tied to his speeches and all the rest of that, I think he could be dramatically more successful. But at the same time, I don't think in some respects it would make any sense to ask Trump to be Reagan or try to act like Reagan, because then he wouldn't be Trump. So, and frankly, I don't think that Donald Trump would listen to any advisors that, you know, tried to point him towards practices that Ronald Reagan did. Because, again, you know, if I haven't heard this expression, but I just like people used to say, let Reagan be Reagan, I've got no doubt that those people that support Donald Trump feel it. Let Trump be Trump. Don't let Trump be Reagan. I don't think he could pull that off.
John Ibush, Executive Director, Ronald Reagan Presidential Foundation and Institute. Was the relationship with the press as contentious with Ronald Reagan? I don't remember it quite being like this with, you know, fake news accusations going back and forth. And I wonder how the Gipper would have done in the age of Twitter.
Yeah, good questions. First, the media's treatment of Ronald Reagan was absolutely brutal at times. They were as tough on Reagan as the media has oftentimes been as tough on Trump. However, the times and technology and environment has changed. There, you know, during Reagan's time, there's no such thing as the internet or social media. You know, CNN had just first gotten its legs underneath it. There was no 24-hour news. So, in that respect, Trump has both advantages and disadvantages over Reagan from a media perspective. He has the ability with a couple of thumbs to reach, 60 million people unfiltered.
Right.
So Reagan didn't have that, and I think if Reagan had been able to tweet, he certainly would. But I think his messages, his voice to the American people would have been radically different. And while the media environment surrounding Trump seems to be more intense than it's been for any other president, in some respects, this is just purely a reflection of the times and the technology. Both presidents were treated very tough by the press. Reagan absolutely fits in that mold, but I think he didn't see the media as the enemy. He saw the media as a vehicle that he needed in order to get his message out. And Trump, he sees the media as a foil, and it's something that he can use to solidify his base and to try to convince others to join him. And so in that respect, the two are very, very different.
John Hybush, Executive Director of the Ronald Reagan Presidential Foundation and Institute. Thank you for joining us today, John. Wish you the best.
Great to be with you, Paul.
You know, I can't imagine not watching the Vikes on television. There's some estimates, Mike Max, that Nike got $43 million worth of free media exposure with all this flap about Colin Kaepernick. The stock took a hit, but it remains to be seen whether this was a wise move. What are you hearing? I'm just curious.
Calculated risk, huh? I mean, yeah. It's interesting, Paul, because this is what I thought when I saw it. Everybody knows about Colin Kaepernick and what he stands for and all those things. And somehow I'm looking at that going, this is just too simple. They know there's going to be this blowback.
Right.
But Nike's not dumb. So they've already calculated the blowback in versus what they're going to get out of it. And I feel like somehow, some way, they're outsmarting everybody on it. You know what I mean? I'm not sure, but just to your point, just what you said, the publicity that they've already achieved, they don't just do this stuff. This is a business, you know?
Right.
They don't just do it because they want to take a political stance. There's always a bottom line reason. And I don't know how it all works in the semantics of marketing, but I know that they had it figured and calculated, and they knew what the blowback was going to be, and they assumed that the plus side would be bigger than that.
Stay tuned. Hey, you got 30 seconds. What's this about fishing, a high school
I'm
sport?
I'm on Lake Minnetonka right now. T.J. Ringer and John Van
You Merkel are?
The Minnetonka team. It's a club sport right now. They got their state tournament on Sunday here.
Cool.
And just at Minnetonka's team, 168 kids went out for fishing.
Wow.
Taken off. So it's not sponsored by the high school league yet, but I think it will be. It's all over the state, and they'll have the top 126 fishing. We're shooting a story right now, and I'm looking for your cabin out here.
yeah. Looking for our shack. All right, buddy.
Great way to spend the day. Good to talk to you, Paul.
Thanks, Mikey. We'll catch you next hour.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.